Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. And the title of my message today is, Lord, I Need Help Through This Pandemic. And I am telling y'all what, the devil does not want you to hear this message. I have started this show over 4 times so far. He is doing everything he can to keep you from hearing this. Okay, this show is going to be a little different than our regular shows because I want to give you not only spiritual food in this, but I want to give you some practical help as well. I want to give you some ideas for how to survive this crisis that has taken over our world. I know a lot of you are scared, and most of the rest of you are also anxious. Very few people will walk through this without some fear or anxiety, and if they do, I'm really happy for them, but I'm not one of them, I can tell you that. And so we need to just look at this in light of the scriptures, and we need to look at it just as people in how we can survive it, okay? Not one of us is untouched in some way. Because even though we are not of this world, we do live in this world right now. So, pardon me while I keep it real and we talk about what you might be able to do to make the situation a little bit better, okay? This is a road we have not traveled before. To my knowledge, the United States at least has never had a pandemic, and I have never seen a global pandemic in the 60 years I've been alive. So, you know, we're facing something that we don't really understand. We're facing something we have no point of reference for. Our government's also facing it, and they're, you know, trying to figure out how to handle it as we go. And that's not a good time to have to deal with a crisis when you're, you know, learning as you go. But here we are, and it's the situation we have. So all we can do is give up or try to make the best of it. We're not quitters, are we? Now, we know that God's word says to cast our care on him and not be anxious for anything. And this is a really good time to practice that and to press in to learn how to do that. Obviously, I have not mastered it yet. We are all at different places in our faith journeys, you know? And it's really easy to minimize other people's fear and say, well, you should have more faith than that. And somebody posted what I thought was a really hateful comment on the JPH Facebook page, getting on to everybody else for having fear and having anxiety over this. And I think that's a very cruel attitude to take because number one, everybody's at a different place in their journey and they may not have overcome in this area yet, but they may be 10 times the faith that you are in some other area. But either way, you have no right to look down on them. And I will tell you something, that prideful attitude will get you drug off into the wilderness and you'll learn empathy real quick in the wilderness if you don't have it now. I remember when I was a new Christian and having some anxiety about some things and being unsure, and I voiced that to somebody, they just slapped a scripture on it, walked away. And that happened to me 2 or 3 different times. And it upset me. It hurt me for one thing because it just dismissed everything I was feeling. And number two, it made me feel like, well, I'm not good enough because my faith is not there. You know what? I've been a Christian for over 20 years and my faith is not here. So, hey, it's all of us, y'all. It's not just y'all. It's all of us. We learn faith for that thing by what we walk through. I went through wildernesses and learned faith for provision. I went through the wilderness after the stroke. I learned faith for healing. We learn one thing at a time, but I don't have faith for a pandemic yet, okay? I'm working on that. I'm doing good so far, but I do have some anxieties. So we don't need to be getting on to anybody else for their lack of faith. Let's just say that. If you help somebody, give them a testimony. Share with them how you got your faith if your faith is so great. Share a testimony. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. The problem's big enough. And for those of you who have been made to feel like you're not good enough by those sort of things, let me tell you something. There is a supernatural gift of faith. I have that gift of faith. That's why I can believe in times of no provision, because God gave me that gift and he took me through the wilderness to show me how to walk in that gift. But everybody doesn't have that. And we cannot expect people to believe at that level when they don't have that gift. It's something that we have to walk in for a while to attain that. The gift is given from God, don't get me wrong. But even if you have the gift, you have to walk through those situations to learn how to apply that gift of faith to the problem to get what you need. It is human nature to feel concerned for what we see, not only because there is a contagious illness going around that could affect us or the people we love, but the economic impact as well. There's not a single one of us who will not feel some of the economic punch from this. Just looking at how it's gone so far, and it's not over. Some people have written me and told me they feel like, you know, this is the tribulation or before the tribulation. Honestly, all last week, I felt like we were just staring into the barrel of the tribulation period. I'm not saying that's where we're at. I'm just saying that's what I was feeling. It just feels so close to that. But either way, we have to walk this thing out. So we cannot fix the economy. So let's look at what we can do. Okay, from a spiritual standpoint, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. One of the characteristics of a sound mind is balance. We've all seen the news footage of the spring breakers down in Miami before Miami said, hey guys, the party's over. But these little guys were down there totally indifferent to the pandemic going on around the globe, and they are young. When you're 20-something, you are not thinking about consequences. Can I just say that? You're not. You think you're 10-foot tall and bulletproof because that's how you feel. You don't think of consequences. I know 30-somethings that don't think of consequences. But you see some of their actions and you wondered if when they were young, their mama dropped them on their head. But, you know, they're just young. They're just young. And we need to have balance. To be terrified of the pandemic is out of balance. To be indifferent to the pandemic is out of balance. We need to have balance. Those are both out of balance. So balance would be, okay, I know this is going on. What can I do? What are the reasonable steps that I can take to protect myself? You know, what can I do to protect myself, protect my family, and, you know, walk this thing out? So, you know, plagues going around increase my anxiety too. So the Lord told us observe and learn about this pandemic. So this, he basically showed me this is a dress rehearsal for what's coming after this. So let's do that. But at the same time, let's walk it out with as much wisdom as we can. Job loss has already begun and much more is likely coming. But we are children of the King. And children of the King are not dependent on an earthly economy for provision. Remember that, okay? Look at 1 Kings 17. The Lord sent Elijah to the brook Cherith, and he used the birds to feed him in a time when a famine was being ushered in. In verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, Ahab was the king then, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So Elijah had just pronounced a drought on the land, which would bring in a famine and devastation. And he did it right in the king's face, and this was not a nice king. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, take off, Elijah, run, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Elijah was courageous. So he sent him to drink from the brook. He said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Did you get that? Commanded. It was already ordained. The Lord had already created and set up Elijah's provision. He's already set up all the takeout orders. He's going to be fed flesh every single day. He's got water from the brook to drink every single day before he even told Elijah to go there. That's important, okay? So Elijah did what God said. That's also important. If you want to have provision, you need to go where God tells you to go. And it came to pass, this is verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land because he had called for a drought. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That was 75 to 85 miles away, y'all. On the maps, it is 75 to 85 miles away that he was telling him to walk. He didn't have a car. He couldn't drive. He had to walk that. I cannot imagine. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And he had called for a drought, so there probably wasn't much water on the way either. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. In other words, I don't have a biscuit in the house, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So he gave her a word right there. He said, If you will do this, God will sustain all your provision. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. That word wasted not means it didn't run out. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. That widow believed the word of the Lord and put God first. She gave out of her need like the widow with two mites, and God sustained her through that whole drought. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And God kept his word, and that means that she had leftovers at the end of that drought because she did what the Lord spoke to her through Elijah. So those of you who have been seeking first the kingdom of God and putting God first in all you do, remember that story in 1 Kings 17 because you can stand on that and say, Lord, now, I did everything that I believe you were telling me to do, so I believe you're going to sustain me through this. Okay, numerous people have emailed me and asked me if the deadly winter vision could have been about COVID-19. And I thought back over it, and I realized that the ice I saw, I only remember seeing ice on the roads and no traffic. I don't remember seeing the ice anywhere else, except I did see it like around people's houses, and the people weren't going anywhere. The answer is I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the Lord gave us that warning so that the people who could would store up some supplies and it would help them against this time. I don't know for sure. I will tell you this. I have never seen anything for as long and as continuously as I saw that for over 2 weeks. And everyone who sees these things will try to interpret what they see, and you get better and better at it the longer you do it. I remember thinking that the illness I saw that was killing the people in their houses didn't look like anything serious enough to kill them. And they didn't seem to be sick for a long, long time before they died. And that they still had some weight on their bodies, so I knew they weren't dying from starvation. As I was praying over a tithes and offering of a friend who lives in New York, and I was believing the Lord to provide for him, and I was declaring, making declarations over that God was going to take care of him, and, you know, he was going to be able to work and all this stuff. He emailed and told me he had been sent home due to COVID-19. And he said, I don't have internet at home, so I can't work. I'm off work. So like most people, his job is his only income. And I told him, because you're a long time tither, you can stand on the promises of Malachi 3. And now is the time to stand on those. And something happened as I prayed for him. The Lord began to show me something about him getting an idea to start a website or a business or about something like that. And about him moving him, the Lord moving him, using this situation with the pandemic to move him, to take him someplace safer in what is coming. And see, according to Hebrews, the Lord himself has been receiving my friend's tithes in heaven every time he tithes. Hebrews 7:8, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So I'm excited about what the Lord has planned for him to see how it all comes out. So for all of you who are tithers, Malachi 3, get in there and stand on those promises. There's two real strong promises. One is he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That means he won't let the devil eat up your stuff through the pandemic or anything else. And the other one is he'll open the windows and pour out a blessing for you so big you can't even contain it all. And I've seen the blessing too big. It's really cool, y'all. In my own life, I've seen it before. Okay, so just some ideas. I'll just throw these out there because I've had to do a lot of these things off and on for many years. How can we make the best of this very unexpected and uncertain situation that we're all in? I was always of the opinion, if you can't find a job, make one. And I did whenever I needed to. I always felt like it was important to have more than one stream of income. because I was solely responsible for raising my two kids, and they were teenagers, and there was nobody to catch me if I fell, so to speak. And so I would develop a sideline. I would sell cosmetics, or I sold Avon for a while, different things like that, because I was in a little small dusty town in the oil field territory of western Oklahoma, and the only time that place booms is when the oil is high. So I would do something like that on the side, and a couple of different times that became my job. There was one time I quit a good full-time job to sell full-time because I was making more money selling than I was working. So don't think these are useless. And where I lived at the time, there was not a big Walmart supercenter. There was a small Walmart. So there was a market for some of those things, you know. So you have to look at where you live, who do you know, and what the need is. Another thing you can look at is, what about starting some kind of a website? Some people sell things through websites. Do you do a craft? Is there something that you make that's unique, that's different? Is there some kind of art you do? Look at your abilities. Look at your skill set. Look at what you're interested in. And look at the things that people compliment you on. What about a blogging website? I think it would be interesting to read a blog of someone's diary of their experience through this pandemic. I think that would be very interesting. And a lot of people are keeping pandemic journals. I'm not keeping one because I don't have time to keep one, but otherwise I would be keeping one. That's something you can do. Everybody's experience of life is different. What do you know that you could teach others how to do? There are websites online where you can create a class to teach someone a skill, and then people pay to take the class online. You can hold webinars if you know how to do something that other people would pay you to learn how to do. These are just ideas of things you can do now to make money in real time to help you get through this. These can turn into sidelines, or they can just, once you create that class, it keeps making you money. It's passive income. People keep taking the class. If they're taking the class a year from now, you're still making money on it. So think about those things. Are you a real good cook? You know, what do you know how to do? What do you do well? There's an imported food company that 85% of their business went down the tubes because businesses had to shut down, restaurants and things like that. So they said, let's put our drivers and our trucks to work and deliver the food as groceries. Let people order the groceries and we'll take the trucks, same drivers, go around, deliver grocery orders. That's brilliant right there. That's taking what you have, looking at the need. People need groceries. They don't want to go to the store and possibly be exposed. So let's take the groceries to them. There you go. So there are things that you can do, but you have to look and see what you can do. My friend who got sent home, I'm sure he prayed about this, and he emailed me and he said, I went out and bought a smartphone and now I'm using my hotspot and I'm working from home. I thought, that's brilliant. See, God must have given him that idea to get him through this. So he's not out of work at all. But the devil tried to make him be out of work. The devil would have loved to have eaten up his income that way and any savings he has and all that and devoured all of his livelihood, but he couldn't because God didn't let him. Now, we don't necessarily want to run out to all the phone stores and shop for phones, but you can get phones other ways. My granddaughter works at a phone store. She told me if I ever need a smartphone, I can call and order it from her and get it. Do you receive prophetic messages or visions about the end times? What about having a website about that? What about writing an ebook? It is free to publish an ebook on Kindle, and it doesn't always have to be a long ebook. It could be a short ebook. It is free to publish a book on CreateSpace as long as you have your cover. Otherwise, you have to pay somebody to design a cover. There is also a website called Fiverr.com where people go out, and it's kind of a side gig for people who do different kind of things. Anything from voiceovers to designing covers to anything you could want to buy. There are people out there who mimic celebrities and record like voicemail messages for you and all kind of things like that. And you just, the gigs start at $5. That's why they call it Fiverr.com. There are many people who have been able to quit their full-time jobs because their gigs on Fiverr are paying them so well. That's something you can look at. That's real-time money, y'all. That's something you could start on right now. Are you good at marketing? You can actually get paid to do social media marketing for other people if you're good at it. When the economy takes a big hit, basically you have two choices, unless you're extremely wealthy. You either cut your expenses to the bone where you can get by on whatever income you have coming in, if that's unemployment or whatever it is, or you increase your income. So the other thing you can do is you can cut your expenses right and left. Look at your credit card statements if you have credit cards. You know, make menus that are really cheap and cut all your extra food expenses out. There's a lot of different places you can cut corners. You can increase, nobody ever told me this when I was a young wife, and my husband and I, we lived in terrible poverty. And I did not know how to make food stretch. I didn't know how to cook when I got married. And I wish that someone had said, look, if you buy beans and rice and potatoes and macaroni, you can stretch your meals. Because I had no idea, and it was many years after I was divorced before I figured that out. So you can stretch your food with those things. And in Texas, biscuits too. Albert Einstein said, in the midst of every crisis lies great opportunity. So I want you to think about how you can turn this pandemic mess that we're all in around to your benefit and ask the Lord to give you ideas and opportunities. If you're willing to do the work, if you're lazy, none of this will help you. But if you're willing to do the work, God is willing to give you the ideas. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long this is going to last. But our God is bigger than anything we face because of COVID-19. Talking about looking for a need. When I worked in oil and gas back in the early 90s, there was this one guy on our crew from Mexico whose wife came up to stay with him for like a month or so. She must have been one smart lady because she started getting up really early and in the motel room, y'all, I don't know how she did this. She started making up these huge batches of these meaty homemade burritos and he brought them to work. They'd be wrapped up in foil and he sold those for a couple dollars a piece. And they were really, really good. He never had a single burrito left in his cooler after it took him about 10 minutes at the most. I think a lot of times he did in 5 minutes, he would sell out. And there was a lot of them. She was making like 30, 40 burritos. And we would heat up, we would lay them on the engines of our trucks and heat them up. And oh, they were so good. And I bet he was really sad when she went home because he was making money off her. But we were sad when she went home because that was our breakfast. She just saw the need and she was a good cook and she knew how to take whatever. I think she was putting like some meat that she had cooked. Maybe she had a crock pot or something she cooked the meat in. And it seems like there might have been a little bit of beans or something in there with it, but they were delicious. And they were just wrapped up in a tortilla. There wasn't like a bunch of cheese on it or anything like that. It was just good basic food. She saw the need. She cooked them up. She probably said, let's see how this goes. And he brought them and sold them out. And we were wishing he'd bring them every day. Some companies already use people that work from home. Amazon, every Christmas season, hires people to work customer service calls from home. American Express uses teleworkers, also, I think, to do customer service from home. So there are jobs out there even now for telecommuting positions. There are companies who hire people at home to transcribe television programs. You watch these programs and listen to them and you type out the words that people are saying. That's how they get the closed captions of what are being said. People who have really good voices set up little mini recording studios in their homes and they record voiceovers for commercials or they record audiobooks. Like ACX.com has information on how to get started on that. I feel like what is happening with this pandemic, a lot of people are going to be going into a wilderness season. And I wonder if this is what the Lord meant when he said in that one word, he said a lot of people are going to be going into the wilderness soon. He didn't say how they were going in. He just said they were going in. And I wonder now how to help, you know, how to help people that are going into the wilderness. I did a teaching back in July of 2016 called Seven Signs You're Entering the Wilderness. So let's just review very quickly those seven signs, because if you're going into the wilderness and you know that's where you're going, there are those things that you can do to work with God, or you can fight him the whole way. And if you fight him the whole way, it's going to be a lot worse and a lot longer for you. Okay, sign number one, your life has changed drastically by some means outside of your control. Check. Sign number two, you are unable to help yourself to change your circumstances in any way. Check. Sign number three, God seems to be or is silent. Check. Sign number four, you are out, really far out usually, of your comfort zone. Check. Sign number five, there is a lack of or conflict with your provision. Sign number six, everything in your life or multiple major things seem to be going wrong all at once. Sign number seven, you are under tremendous pressure. Speaking of pressure, have y'all noticed that everybody seems to have a little bit shorter fuse these days? It's the stress. Everybody is just under so much stress now. And I've noticed I have a tremendous problem focusing right now. Everything distracts me. And I've had to fall back on a technique that I learned in the wilderness that sometimes all I can get through is the next 5 minutes. Sometimes you can just get through today. Sometimes you may have days where all you can do is get through the next 30 minutes or the next 5 or even the next 1 minute. And if that's the way it is, then that's what we do. We just breathe and then we just get through that minute. Then we get through the next minute, the next hour, the next day. And pretty soon you've walked the whole thing out. Be kind to everyone you can because this is hard on everybody. I hope this show has been a help to you. I posted a prayer against coronavirus on the website in the prayers tab, www.justpraisehim.today, if y'all want it. Lord Jesus, King of Kings, we come before you now as your children to ask for your help. Lord, your word says to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. And we kneel before your throne now, Jesus. You are the Prince of Peace, and you have been given power over all things. We ask now that you would halt the spread of the coronavirus in our nation right now and that you would bring peace back to all of your people. We especially ask, Lord, that you would not allow the virus to reach us or our loved ones, and we pray for healing for all those who are or have been afflicted with it. We pray you would bring good out of it as only you can, and that you would move on hearts to further the spread of the gospel and win souls to your kingdom during this pandemic. We praise you, Lord, that your word says, no plague shall come near our dwellings. And we stand on that and declare the virus shall not come near us or our household. We declare in the face of any economic fallout from this pandemic that you are our shepherd, Lord. And your word declares, we shall not want. So we declare we will have no lack whatsoever based on your mighty word. And we thank you, Lord, we have clean water to drink, safe, nutritious food to eat, pure air to breathe, electricity and high-speed internet. Thank you for our phones and phone service. Thank you we can still order things and receive deliveries so we don't have to go out and be exposed to anything. We praise you, Lord, for turning all this bad to good. And we thank you for strong, godly leadership in the White House during this crucial time. Help each one of us to see what you want us to learn from this, Lord, and help us to be part of the solution, Lord, not the problem. We turn it all over to you now. We place our eyes on you, Jesus. We know there is nothing too hard for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Stay safe and well out there. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.